Last week, an email pinged off my screen encouraging me to visit a website that analyses all manner of production boats for the benefit of anyone wanting to know. My correspondent was impressed that among the usual numerical conclusions about berths, length, beam and stability, there was also a figure which rated comfort. The glad tidings were that the site wasn't defining this in terms of how things are in harbour. It concentrated on life 50 miles out, where the big seas roll. Motion, sea kindliness, the feather bed versus the pit of nails. This was music to my ears. Having grown up in boats built so that working seamen could live offshore, I know a thing or two about comfort. Don't get me wrong, I've no quarrel with yachts designed for quick sprints to the next harbour with wide open spaces below and roomy playpens aft for when they arrive. As long as it stays reasonably calm, the trip can be good fun too. Living through a gale is another matter, or surviving a difficult ocean passage without feeling like a frozen pea let loose inside a rugby ball. Curious as to what I'd find in the comfort box for one or two yachts of my acquaintance, I punched in an honest craft built primarily for the charter market. I didn't expect the designers rated an easy motion high on their list of priorities, so it was interesting to note that the comfort factor far outweighed that of an old-fashioned cruiser whose motion is generally admired. Closer inspection revealed that whoever had clicked in the data had mistakenly exaggerated the charter boat's displacement by almost 2 to 1. That explained everything, but I reflected that it was a good job I didn't buy one for a family world voyage on the strength of the site's findings. After this shocker, I began to wonder how many other numerically based conclusions are built on such sandy ground. A year or two back, I sailed a 35-foot yacht that had recently been officially coded as ocean-capable. Roomy, airy, and with more bunks than a Blackpool boarding house, she was kept upright initially by broad beam. When increasing heel ran this out of steam, a lead bulb at the bottom of a narrow fin took up the cudgel. The combination conferred a stratospheric stability based on the static GZ curve approach. My two shipmates were veteran sailors, and we rubbed our hands as the wind gusted up to a mean 30 knots in the marina. Outside it was blowing like the clappers, and our experience was illuminating. It'd be polite to say that the motion was unacceptable in the steep seas of the gale-swept eastern Solent. The yacht bounced about so violently that our lady skipper was tossed over the rail like a child off a trampoline. It hadn't been her game plan to discover how it felt to be dragged along by a harness at 6 knots, so we heaved her back on board, dried her out, and set off to windward under minimum canvas. This saw us twice broaching all the way around to beam on. Actually, the boat tacked herself. As she heeled, the wide stern was lifted by its distorted buoyancy, digging in the skinny bow and hiking the rudder half out of the water. The only solution was to dump the mainsheet, but since this was out of reach of the helmsman, keeping crew on deck became vital to security. In any 35-footer intended to venture more than a few miles from harbour, this, of course, is ludicrous. In the end, we took everything down and ran for port under bare poles, suffering a near knockdown for our pains when the yacht broached, this time in a 4-foot quartering sea. All this was pretty serious. At the comedy end of the spectrum, I found the heads literally unusable, even for a male, on a short visit, when the compartment was on the uphill side. Fleeing to the deck from a slamming that rattled my brains, desperation drove me to the answer. I commend it to all gentlemen searching for seamanlike relief. Such yachts as these almost invariably feature a fine bathing platform aft. Mysterious advertisements show pictures of these extensions bedecked with scantily dressed young ladies. Sad to report, this has not been my experience. We don't have the weather for regular dips up here in the frozen north. But now, exclusively to Yachting Monthly readers, I can reveal its real purpose. Clip the harness to the backstay, unhitch the athwartship's guardrail, or lift the driving seat that stops you falling over the back. Then step down onto the sugar scoop. Here, well is awash, facing aft for modesty, you will discover a haven of ease, unsuspected by those clinging to their penance perches up on deck. That yacht had a first-class theoretical stability rating. Like many others, her problem stemmed from the inconvenient truth that capsize is a dynamic event, generally brought about by waves, not by wind. When a yacht broaches severely, she exposes her beam to the next wave. If this is steep and breaking, it continues the good work, and the crew may end up swimming. Basing security at sea on nothing more than a few calculations is prone to two pitfalls. First, there's the straightforward human error typified by the guy entering the wrong displacement figures into the website. Next, come more subtle issues, wrought by sincere but imperfect attempts to reduce to simple numbers the infinite complexities of a yacht in a broken sea and the efforts of an exhausted crew caught out with her. When it comes to our comfort and safety, we might do better just to trust our own judgment.